Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Spilling Guts Podcast. You are listening to Wear the Vest, Protect the Chest, Luke Bradley.
And I don't need friends, I need fans. That's Jack Harlan. Who needs friends when we can have Spilling Guts fans?
All 28 of them, according to Anchor.
This one goes out to our 28 loyal listeners. We love
you. We love each and every one of y'all.
I was going to say there's enough love to go around, but I mean, there's not a lot of going around to do with all the love. So you're getting it in bucket loads, girls and boys.
So I have to tell you that I watched the American Horror Story Red Tide finale this week, and I saw it got a lot of heat. And I really enjoyed the fact that it was a boot scooting 30 minutes long, a nice little like wrap up. It was like snappy, like cut to the chase. And it was very entertaining. And then after watching, because I was a bit like the one before, I was like, am I into it? Am I not? And then I think because this episode was like just rounding off, it didn't do the shenanigans of typical final episode of the season. Like they go all the way left and do some like stupid shit. And then watching that, I was like, I really enjoyed it. And, you know, MVPs, Ty has to be Leslie Grossman and Angelica Ross, because they just like hit the ball out of the park and they're fine.
I mean, you're always going to get those people that complain. And I think everyone should be really humble and really thankful that American Horror Story has decided to do only 6 episodes and end the last one in 30 minutes, because they are the kings, queens, and all the horsemen of fucking it up, of really tearing the arse out of something good and making it bogus. So good for them. I mean, I watched episode 3 or 4 yesterday, but I have that and Slasher and Squid Game, which have you been watching Squid Games?
No.
Get on Squid Games. It is round of applause. Brilliant. It's Korean limited TV series on Netflix. And it's basically just like they all enter. In case anyone's not seen this, everyone really, really should jump on it. All these people need money, big time loans. They're in so much debt. So they join this game. And there's like 400, 500 of them. And they start playing these kids games. But they get murdered if they lose. Ooh. So they all just start getting like, ping, 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 ping. Floored, gonzo, dead, 6 feet under. It is drama, mama. You need to watch it. It's stunning.
I'm going to invest in that, because now I know it's got some like kills. I'm like, okay, now I'm into
Because that's what sort of got me into it was, I'm a bit like yourself. I need a little bit of pizzazz. And the pizzazz means brain splattered. Yeah, I need violence, mama. I just think, you know, the best shit out there is the shit that people die, you know?
Sure is. I mean, I watched yesterday that film, Kate. Have you seen that on Netflix?
Is it good?
Right, okay. So is the story an original story? No, it's not. However, was I thoroughly entertained the entire time? Yes, I was. I mean, just like, to be honest, anytime like the backdrop of a movie is like Japan, I'm like, you know, it's going to have some mad shit in it. And it had some mad shit in it. And to have, oh my God, mind blank on a name. Mary Elizabeth Wins. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, she was class. I always liked her anyway. I've seen her in loads of things, but I find like in the past sort of like couple of years, she's really out there doing the most. She's like, she's in like everything, but like in the best way. But then also like she has like this like sidekick kind of, not a sidekick, but like this is like young, like tweeny girl who's like so, like she's right up our street. She's so funny and so fun. And
Is it anything like Gunpowder Milkshake? Have you watched Gunpowder?
I haven't seen that yet. I'm gonna see that.
So it's on Sky, and I watched it, and I mean, it was really enjoyable for what it is, but it was also very naff. And what is her name?
Gillian.
Karen Jellybabies is, I'm sorry, she's a terrible actress. And at first I was like, you know, Oculus, I was like, okay, that's her character. And then Marvel, and she's Nebula, I was like, okay, again, that's her character. But this time she's just like, she's just, no, I don't think she's a good actress. But the cast itself is thebomb.com.org.uk and .as.
Oh, when, you know, anytime Miss Angela Bassett is in anything, you know my ass is going to watch that shit. And like,
she's sickening. Lena Headey, sickening. Oh, the woman that was in James Bond.
Which one is like a gazillion?
She's like the Asian Bond girl. You know, Pierce Brosnan. Is it The World Is Not Enough? She's in it. I don't know her name.
See, the only Bond girl from like Pierce Brosnan era is like, I can remember, is Halle Berry and Denise Richards. Like, are they the only two that, like, to be honest,
the girl who was the judge in the second season of UK Drag Race. What do you call her? And she's got raging bosoms.
You mean Elizabeth Hurley? She's class.
Elizabeth Hurley. She's in the one with Denise Richards, and she was great.
Have you ever seen the film Bedazzled, where she plays the devil?
Nah, it says camp.
Oh my god, it's high camp. It's her and Brendan Fraser, and she like plays like devil, and she's like trying to like, you know, get his soul. And oh my god, it's the campiest like trash film, but like she's like so good.
Yeah, I do love Elizabeth Hurley. She's really good in it. Come back to me. But when you watch it, I'd imagine, I think that's why I haven't watched Kate yet, because they're giving me very similar vibes. Oh, and no, I just came off Gunpowder Milkshake. So I'm like, ugh, Kate can wait.
See, Kate is like more on the serious side. It's the classic tale of, well, essentially, Kate, she's an assassin, wants to get out of the game. She gets poison and she's got like 24 hours to live. So she's like on like a bit of a tour and like, I'm going to fuck whoever like tried to poison me. And then there's a twist that's like really obvious twist. But saying that, was it a good time? Yes, it was.
Yeah. I want to be your mate, Kate. Can we go on a date, Kate? How about tonight, Kate? Do you know what I'm doing?
Yeah, I know, but I don't think, how about tonight, Kate? It's one of them.
No, I don't think so. What does it say? Want to be my date, Kate?
Kate. There's three, isn't there? Like, there's three. Want to be my mate, Kate?
Want to be my date, mate, Kate? Can we go on a date, Kate?
Isn't that, you look great, Kate?
You look great, Kate. That's it.
Something like that, yeah.
Scruff fucking iron to the face. Yeah! Enough out of you.
And his little tighty whities.
We like that. So we are hitting you up with the final and part four episode of our Scream Timber. Well, we'll have more screams to talk about hopefully come January if we do not get any pushbacks. But for now, we've finally reached the end of the month, and what better way than to talk about the iconic Scream 4 or Scream 4. You know they replaced the A with the four? Scriffum.
Scriffum. Scriffum. You stupid bitch.
I love you.
So, for anyone out there who has not seen Scream 4, you know.
Move your ass.
Yeah, get to step in. We are back in Woodsboro, and it is 11 years later, and, you know, new generation, new rules. Ghostface is back at it again. And of course, Sydney Prescott is back just in time for shit to go down. We have a brand new cast. We have some amazing cameos. This cast is like, thebomb.com. And Ghostface, again, is stepping up, you know, everything, and it is off the chain.
Yeah, apart from Sydney's cardigan collection.
We've dogged on this cardigan collection for three episodes so far, and like now we probably won't even talk about it because we've like dogged it out so much.
A whole axe wound is out simply for the cardigan collection. You've lost the whole axe wound for that fucking clothes they done made one of the most naturally prettiest, most appeasing, striking final girls, mom juice. Just pure Butterbean mom juice. will not stand for this podcast, but
they may as well put her in like beige slacks and a little like orthopedic shoe and got it over and done with, like, and give her a tight perm and go we'll age this bitch up, like, seriously. Because in the movie, if you think about it, she's only supposed to be what, like mid to late 30s, if that. And
yeah, I wouldn't even say late 30s.
And they're treating her as if she's like over the hill. Because like now in the new one, she's gonna be what, mid to late 40s? Yeah, right.
She's definitely gonna be more fashionable. She has to be.
If she's not in some like sleek, like get up. Oh, yeah. Like, I swear. If they don't give her back her jacket that she sports in every other one, like, I swear, I will I will call the manager. I'll demand to speak to the manager of Scream.
No more fucking cardigans. Bring back the cool jacket. Be denim, be a brown leather. We know she loves a good brown leather one too, don't she? Or some sort of brown thing. And now she up in here with the teal. Head to toe teal constantly. I'm even sure that when Olivia gets murdered, she's wearing the same top there as she's wearing the next day when she has her... Suddenly change your clothes, bitch. Yes, sir.
You musty ass bitch.
But in good fashion, like we've done every other episode, we must start and talk about the opening. Where does it compare in the Scream universe? Where does Scream 4 opening compare?
I mean, I think I've said this on the podcast. I watched this film 3 times in the cinema, and I was just like, because it had been so long and like such a massive fan of these movies, I just could not contain my excitement. So I was going to love this no matter what. Because I was like, finally, I'm in a time where I get to be in the cinema and watch this. So regardless of how this goes down, I'm going to fucking love this film. And to this day, it's still the tea, it's still the truth. They had the audacity to not once, but twice, thrice, they gave us an opening like no other. And I love the fact that they definitely played on the era we were in. We were in 2011. So, of course, they're getting like bitches to be killed that are of the time and were not, I think relevant's the wrong word, but like big at the time. So you had Lucy Hale and Sinead Grimes. They were, you know, from Pretty Little Liars, and they're from 90210, the reboot. So you were like, right, we get it. They're like, they're big with the teens. They're big with like the younger audience, because they wanted to bring in that younger audience, and that was great. And then we get like, I'd say, and like the next opening is like the older audience with like Kristen Bell. Like I love her so much. Like everything she's in, like I'm down to clown, and she's great in the opening. And then Anna Paquin is like, again,
Miss Rogue up here, being Miss that Rogue. Chatterbox bitch.
Miss Sookie Stackhouse, like, ooh.
Miss Sookie gonna sookie the end of this knife. You know, I would stab a bitch who talks that much. You know, shut your ass up.
And I love the idea that like, that the first opening is, what is it? Stab six is the opening to Stab 7, which is genius. I love the fact that we have, you know, the deaths for the two girls in the start, Trudy and
Amy Takaka.
No, in the first one with Lucy Hale, she's, what's it? The characters are called Trudy and, what's the other one? I want to say like Bonnie, what is it?
Shelby?
Let me look at this. But I love the fact like they're, because obviously they're in stab movies, which you don't realize at first until obviously it does the whole, you know, scream a stab thing. Their deaths are so dramatic and OTT, and I love the moment where you see, and it's so simple, where you see Lucy's like hair like caught like in the in the door, and it's just I just love it.
And so what I like about it is how on first watch, of course, the whole on first watch, you know, the whole point is that it's supposed to catch you out. And when I watched it and I seen the two Ghostface killers, I was confused, because you're not expecting it to... We're going to be hitting all y'all up with the word meta again. You don't expect it to be like that level of meta, that when you rewatch it, you notice that like the the prosthetic that's on the neck that's been slapped is like overly too big, and you can see her eyes blinking. And then when it zooms out and it's in Stab 7, the screen itself is like, you know, it looks badly edited on to the TV.
Yeah.
And those are things at first you would think would be an actual mistake, but that's how clever Wes Craven is. Is he
it's
knows
all intentional.
They're supposed to look like bad slashers, so you're getting the bad effects through and through. You're getting the, like, cheesy shit dialogue, and even dumber characters, and that's just why it's so unbelievably genius. It's a way of reinventing the Scream opening without retreading, you know, Scream 1, Scream 2. Scream 3 tried to do the same sort of, like, gotcha moment, and it didn't really work. This one's like, we're not even following that rule at all. We're just going to show you how deep into the Woodsboro atmosphere we are. And baby, I love
it. It's a fresh take. And then you have Kristen and Anna do their thing. And I love their interaction. Anna's little rant is so, it's just so good.
It's true as well. Oh. It's like, you know, it's everything she's saying. She's like, the whole postmodern self-aware meta shit. Like, stick a fork in 1996, like, you know, because that was the innovator, and then everything just followed after. It was just trying to reinvent the wheel. So she's like, fuck all that. Back to basics. And Scream 4 is like, gotcha.
Yeah, I love it. This opening is so great. And then cut to, you have Amy What's-Her-Face and what's the other girl?
Marnie and who?
Jenny. Her name's Jenny. Marnie and Jenny. Britt Robertson, that's it.
Robertson, who I'm sure done the show on Netflix, and I can't remember the name of it, but RuPaul.
Girlboss.
Well, Girlboss.
Yeah, it's about that eBay site called Nasty Gal.
Uh-huh. Oh, and that's what's become Nasty Gal now?
So that show was based on a real life story of a girl who started her own eBay shop called Nasty Gal, and that's like...
Yeah, and now Nasty Gal is proper, like Nasty Gal is like a pure famous closing thing for girls now.
Yeah, but it was way before the show.
Oh no, I know, because the show's based off of her real life, creating Nasty Gal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're about to get me confused. But she's brilliant in it, and I much prefer her to Jenny, and I much prefer the alternate opening to the opening that we got, but the opening that we still got was good, and I can see why they changed it, you know.
Yeah,
maybe that's too many rug pulls, because, you know,
see, I'm with you, however I would have liked like a merge of the two. I'd have liked to have seen, because like them utilize them both and have them both get a moment in that scene. Yep. Because I think equally their own deaths in their own scene are great, but then each other's death in each other's like main scene is whack. Do you know what I mean? Because like,
yeah.
Marnie's death just gets thrown through the window, like boring. And then Jenny, when Marnie's scene just gets like stabbed. That's it. She just gets like stabbed a couple of times.
I love Jenny's death scene in that, because it's not how she dies. It's that Marnie stood there going, all right, enough. And Jenny's lying there screaming, and Ghostface is just ripping and there, and Marnie's like, right, very funny. I like how Jenny gets killed. I prefer the way she gets killed in that one. There's something about the like the newer edit that really bothers me, right? So I'm going to put this out in the open air. Hopefully you agree. The way that we are first introduced to Ghostface is awful. I think it's like Marnie's thrown through the window, and he just like jumps up to the window, and just like, and then you just see him like clownishly, that's not a word, foolishly run after. You know what I'm saying? And it's like quite anticlimactic. While in the other one, the door closes and there he is, and it's more of like a ooh. But in this one, it's like her body goes through, and he's just a, and he's just like stood there with his weirdly shaped mask that like lacked, you know, definition. So I find something annoying about that part, but with everything that comes before it, it's just like, it's just gold, you know.
See, the way I see it is I like the final edit of the opening, but I hear what you're saying. I do think the Marnie scene, I love them both. However, I feel like they went with Jenny C because there's a lot of parallels. I think they do it on purpose to the original. So you have there's a sprinkle and essence of the original they bring in the fourth. So the whole Jenny scene is very reminiscent of Tatum with the garage door and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, you're giving us like a bit of a, like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And it's like, you know, there's that throughout the whole film. There's definitely a lot of scenes that go, we're going to just have like a little like wink, wink, or womp, womp to the original. And I like that about it. I think that's quite clever. So I feel like they went with the Jenny scene in the final edit for that reason. But I would also, I also really enjoyed like the deleted scene where you get to see like, even though it, it's a bit of filler, but I like when you see the bodies and like the message. I thought it was like, why not keep that in? Like,
why is that not in there? Like, I really think that that was perfect. I think we really, really needed it. And I felt sorry for like Marinade because her character was clearly the bigger part and then was just sidelined to
she gets to say she was in Scream 4, so like regardless of how like
seriously,
come on,
you get like murdered at the start of Scream 4. But you know what, I will say I do agree with you to a positive extent, because in the newer opening we get a conversation with Ghostface, while in the other one he's just there, he stabs and then he's done. In this one he like has the sort of chat, and I actually never noticed how her going through the glass was like, was just like a reenactment of like the chair going through, but instead of a chair, it's her.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I like it.
And I like the back and forth with Jenny. She's like, you know, I've got a 4-point GPA, like, asshole,
136
like,
IQ asshole. Yeah.
Yeah. She's not like, I'm not a dumb big titted bitch. Like, I, you know, I'm smart, bitch. She's not that smart because she gets her ass beat. And to be fair, like, and it's so like, and I feel like with this one as well, they really step up in terms of like how cruel like the killings are and like how brutal they are. Like she's stabbed in the back, and so she's kind of like, she's fucked up, and then she's trying to crawl out, and that poor bitch, she's like, her back is like squished, and you're like, oh, and you hear like the bones like cracking, you're like, oh, that got a fucking
crunch,
hurt.
crunch, munch. Helping not making Ash was in the building.
I just wish that she gets it in the back, and then you know with the garage door. But I wish she would like would have had a final stab moment, like give her one good stab, and let's see it. But then again, to be fair, we do see a lot the rest of the time, so I can live without that.
Yeah, I can sort of forgive, because
sure,
then way further down the line, you know, when we do get Olivia's death scene, which is easily the goriest and probably my favorite death scene in the whole
the whole thing.
He fucks her, he's like, I already just turned her inside, say mush, but I'm gonna throw you out the window as well, and cut you into more mush and stab you in the hand and drop kick the shit out of you, because why not?
You know? Why the fuck not?
That's why we love your ghost face.
And then I really enjoy the music in this, and like how they have the little, now it seems to be like a big holiday in Woodsboro, like the new generation is like, we don't care about all them people that's dead. We're going to like make it a big thing and like dress up the lamps and whatever. And then,
which would still be us, by the way.
Oh, 100%.
We would be the head of the Stabathon. We'd be like, oh my God, there is a slasher franchise based off the town that we live in. We have to do a whole Stabathon, because why the fuck not? And there's a killer going around. Are you going to stop it? No.
Yeah.
Let's invite him.
And I love the fact that straight away we get to learn that, of course, Gale and Dewey are, you know, still married. They are living in Woodsboro. He's like police chief, and she's like, you know, Betty Crocker at home, which you're like, I don't know how this is going to pan out for you, Gale and Dewey, but like, I like that she's, you know, evolved enough to be like, do you know what? Like, I don't need what was going on. I actually just need you. And I really like that about that she has evolved. And then we do still get all the Gale shenanigans and the fact that she's still 100% Gale, but she's just doing Gale like in Woodsboro. And like,
yeah.
That's like, the move.
I mean, it's nice. It's a change of tone that the first three, it's the same. Gail goes through the same character
beat. And she has to evolve at some point.
Yeah, she gets a bit better as each one goes on. Well, I mean, she's great anyway, but I mean, like, sort of some empathy, shit like that. But she's the same note every time. And so it's good that she's not that Gail, but we see her still be that Gail when, like, we have Alison Brie, like, coming up here, and she's so like, good. I'm going to revitalize your face with my tarnished brand. I'm like, you know, she is not down and out and definitely not retired.
And then we get, like, the first glimpse of the goddess that is Kirby. I mean, when I found out that Hayden Panettiere was going to be in this movie, because we are birthday twins, we have the same birthday.
Oh my God.
Just 2 years apart. Same as Khalees as well. We have the same birthday.
Oh my God. That's fun. You share the birthday. All I share it with is Tina Fey and Pope John Paul II.
I mean, Tina Fey is pretty like...
Yep, but like Pope John Paul II.
I mean, who that?
Come on, the Vatican.
But yeah, we get to see first glimpse. So when I found out that Hayden was in this, I was like, oh, this shit is on. Like, she's gonna bring it. And she has the little, that hair is
that little pop rocket hair. She's just like, she just looks like that is now technically like a Karen haircut. But at the time, that was
no, Karen's more of a like a type like asymmetrical bob. Like she's got no. Don't do that to Kirby. Like you tried that. You take
she's
that.
She's got
back.
All like little fucking bobby pins, like hair slides, holding that little tiny hair up. And I'm sorry, Kirby is definitely up there, top five favorite screen characters, maybe even top three. I just think Hayden Panettiere, a star. I was like you as soon as I found out. I was obsessed. I knew she would die. But it's Hayden Panettiere. Surely she might love. And then, of course, lo and behold, we will never know. Did she live or did she die?
I really enjoyed that whole scene in the car. But I will say this. I really enjoy Emma Roberts, and I think she's great. I think she's definitely got better as the years have gone on. However, in Scream 4, I'm going to just say this. She's really good when she's like Psycho Jill. Mm-hmm. The rest of the time is sketchy boots.
I think the opposite. I think she's really good just being normal. And then I think when she goes a bit crazy, her acting goes a bit crazy.
I don't know if it was a choice. It would be smart of her if she thought, right, okay, how I'm gonna play this like this. She's clearly like a psycho and she's trying so hard to be like to be normal and everyone think that she's not psycho, that she's trying so hard that it kind of comes across as like too much. Does that make sense? Or weird? Because I tell you what, this one scene, and it's later in the film, and it's when they're all at Kirby's house. Her acting in that scene, when she's talking about like she didn't call or text Trevor, that is,
she's like, okay, where is my phone? So, fun fact is on the commentary of Scream 4 on the DVD, the like American copy that I got. Actually, I think I gave it to you. Mm-hmm. Do you have it? Yeah. So
I do indeed.
You should listen to the commentary sometime because it's Wes Craven, Emma Roberts, Hayden Panettiere, Emma Roberts, one of them anyway, comes on over the phone like suddenly. And then they're talking about it. And she was like, the whole time, like when she's under the bed and Ghostface walks past, the reason why she doesn't really look that scared is because she's not.
Yeah.
And then when she sat in the thing and they find out like what's happened about like, oh, I can't believe that happened to the deputy's wife. And she's like, I can't believe that. And she's just eating popcorn, just staring. You know, it looks really wooden.
Yeah.
All of that, all the phone thing is all deliberate. She's like, I was trying to play it like someone he couldn't properly play up, like they were acting. Like she's like, I was trying to play it like they were badly acting. How do you like, oh, where is my phone? I did not text you. So she was like, that was a deliberate choice.
Well, maybe she was doing that. Well, then maybe she was doing that the whole time. And if that is the case, then I take what I've just said back. And then she's actually pretty genius.
I do think, though, that it is a little bit sketchy bits. I think that, like, you know, that's a very easy cover-up, mama. If you know that your acting wasn't, you know, A-star, because I think she's got the chops now. And she would be able, if Scream 4 was now, which we've already talked about, it's just as fucking relevant and just as important as ever. She would have blown that role out of the absolute park, but we would have suspected that she would have been a killer if she was to be in it now. I think then she was a lot more innocent. And now she's about, like, she's always playing like the bad bitch. That if she was playing a sweet old Jill, I'd be like, this bitch is killing everyone and I know it. You know? I know she's the killer.
What do you think about Olivia?
Right. So I love Olivia, but okay, you will know what I'm talking about, and you might be one of the few people that know what I'm talking about. The version that was released in the cinema and the version that's in the DVDs, two completely different things. In the cinema, she was good, right? Yeah. Like, where she delivered lines was good. And there's, sorry I said this, there's a version of Scream 4 somewhere online that you can watch illegally where it has the cinema version of basically when she does the dialogue. It's very like deadpan, you know, no inflection. It's very like laid back, deadpan. Really cool, really such a character. And then the version on the DVD, they've dubbed everything. Everything she says is really up here. And, you know, and they add all these lines. And when you watch it, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And then you watch it, her voice isn't, it's like they says, we need you to redo all of these lines. And it's now made her sound like a shit actress when really she was popping. And I love the character as well. She's just like, as I said, just a low-key bad bitch.
Yeah, but I do feel like, I don't know, she's maybe like left to the wayside a little bit. I do feel like they didn't, like, I don't know.
She fought her, like, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't give her enough to play with. Do you know what I mean? I think because there's so many characters in this, I think we're a little bit oversaturated with people. So, like, people like Trevor don't really get that much. And then, you know, I think that's the kind of case here with Olivia a little bit. Trevor, but I do really like Olivia. However, like, yeah, it's just
Olivia's probably one of the few characters who in Scream who really just feels like she's there to be murdered.
Oh,
like, a lot of them you see their purpose, but she really just feels like she's there to be murdered. And I know that there was, like, the scene where they're at the fountain, which was deleted.
Yeah, and, like, that mirrored, like, well, that paralleled to the original. So, like, why not, I mean, keep that in there? Because it's, you know.
Well, I mean, when you watch it, Trevor's acting, Nico Tortorella's acting on it. His acting, I mean, all the deleted scenes, his acting is terrible. Yeah. All the scenes are in it, he's actually all right. So I think they were like, these scenes are just so terrible that we need him out. I do feel for Olivia, but she's got her own staple in Scream now. I think she's got, you know, the right for existence because of her death scene, which is easily the most violent and, like, low-key iconic, I think, in the entire franchise. You just can't beat it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And then we get Sydney, like, rocking up in that, like, red outfit, hair tied up, heels on, with Alison Brie. And then when you see Alison Brie in this, it's Alison Brie so is good.
No, that's an MVP. That walked in and she went, Scream 4 is mine.
And she was giving me very much, like, early Gail vibes, the way she, like, interacts with people. Uh-huh. She don't give a shit. She's, like, not cutthroat, but she knows exactly what she wants and how she wants it and how she's going to get it. And she does not give a shit. And I love that about her. And I love every scene she's in.
Brilliant. And now that you said that, she is given very old school, late 90s Gail vibes. And it makes sense because she says, like, it was all about Top Story with Gail Withers. You were my 90s, you know? So obviously she's, like, immunizing and sort of copying that sort of, like, disastrous, treacherous traits. But obviously, I mean, I would say, is she clever? she's not clever enough because I think the way she dies is quite, like, you know.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I love her, but, like, she's dumb. For, she's yeah, dumb for what, like...
Stay in the car. Just stay in the car. Keep your doors locked. Or if you're going to run, don't turn around. Does that door handle comes off, I'm running again. Door handle comes off,
and
I'm run.
Bitch, the entire time she like clings onto that bag and those keys. I'm like, dump your shit and get out of that garage.
Kick your fucking heels off. You don't need to wear your heels. You know, I've tried running in heels and it's not easy, bitch. You're slow. Kick your heels off. Door handle comes off. Don't even turn around. Run again. Just run. Why is there enough to run? Just do it. Just get out of there, girl.
That's true. And then what do you think of the whole, like, blood and stuff and the knife and the phone in Sydney's rental?
I don't know. It's like, I guess it's just a plot point to keep Sydney there. It's just, it's a muse to be like, oh, now Sydney's staying here, because everyone's first answer is going to be like, well, why doesn't Sydney just get the fuck out of there? So I don't mind it.
Because she can't now, because now she's in the investigation. Exactly, she has to stick around.
Like, you know, they framed her, or, you know, put shit in her car. But again, it's just a bit of a, I don't know.
I do really enjoy Kirby in the next scene where she's like, oh, does this mean I'm not going to live as long as these two because I didn't get a phone call? And like, she's like, you know, from your life, like.
Scene stealer. And any scene Kirby's in, she's like the new Randy, but like for gays. She's
100%.
Because she's cool, hot, got pure chud, just pure attitude, fashion. She's
funny.
And she loves horror movies. I mean, where can we find a girl like this? And please, can we be her friend?
And with the name, and again, like, just like Parker Posey had a lot of like small, funny moments in Scream 3, Kirby has the same in this. She has a lot of really fun, like little looks she gives people and little funny moments that I just really, really enjoy.
Mm. I mean, I think, as it says, I don't think there's enough of her. She's in it quite a lot, I think, all things considered, for a friend.
To be fair, she's literally in it up until like the very like last leg of it. Mm-hmm. She's there. She's in it.
Like they know she's a great character because she's the friend of Jill, you know, and this is Sydney's story. So she's not even like fourth main. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
she's like sixth main or something, and she is just in it. Anytime she's in it, she owns it. And I think that scene with her, Jill and Olivia, and it's, you know, I'm in the closet. I think that is amazing. I think that is like, again, a new level that Scream has of suspense where, you know, you think he's in the closet, but no, they have to watch their best friend get murdered.
Did you see that coming?
Across the street. Huh?
When you first watched that, did you see that coming?
I knew he wasn't, because I mean, I would watch the trailers that much that could piece it together. I knew he wasn't in the closet. And then, you know, we would see the scene of Olivia getting fucked up in her bedroom. So in my head, I was like, and when I could see her across the street, I was like, oh, he's going to be over there. But when it did happen, it exceeds expectations.
Because it just like, it goes from like 0 to 100 real fast. And I will always, the trailer will always stuck out was that one scene where Kirby's in the closet, and that always was like stuck out of my mind. But she pulls it across and like she looks and she's got the phone, it's great. And then boom, when we get Olivia's death, I mean, she is just, she's literally thrown around that room. She gets the knife in her hand. She's like kicked about. She's punched about. She's slashed. She gets pushed through the window, turned around, flipped upside down. Like, she's doing the most. And then, like, the amount.
Olivia, she gets
and then when, then when Sydney, like, goes to the bedroom, and the amount of blood that is in that room, like,
and
there's not once.
She's cuddling her intestines.
There's not one surface in that room that's not covered in her blood. And yeah, like you said, just her like intestines are out, like kind of like with Casey and Steve in the original, like they love to like just gut everyone. And again, I love all the like little parallels and the little like
nods and I think,
to the first.
I think how she's actually murdered, it's like a dance, isn't it? It's the way it's choreographed. He bursts in, stab in the hand, rip it out, kicks her, bounces off the wall, throws her. You know, the only thing we're missing is it showed us in the trailer her scrambling across the bed.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
So they cut it, and I'm like, why is that cut out? She's obviously trying to scramble to get away, and you can see it in the mirror over there, but that's just me being a purist. You know, I'm like, I seen it in the trailer, I need to see it in life. But I mean, that scene is just, it's just iconic. And the way he just like fucks her back in the bed, ooh, and she just bounces off it, and he just rips into her.
Suddenly, he's just like, stab, like, going.
And he's like, throwing different angles, you know, flipping the knife around, changing how he's ripping her apart. And then Miss Sydney be running over there into a house empty-handed. At first I'm like, what a dumb bitch, but she doesn't need weapons.
That's bad. She's got her alert. Like,
she's got them pumps. She's got them little primary school fucking
pumps at her feet. Little ballet pumps.
She's like, okay, there's a photo on the wall. That's going over your head. I've got my little feet. I'll fucking swipe your legs. Perfect. Love it.
And we get another like iconic Sydney and Ghostface little dance, little like fight scene where it's just erratic and everyone. I love the fact that anytime like Ghostface has a fight with someone, it's not perfect. It's not him like destroying like fucking like Mortal Kombat style. It's like, no, Ghostface fumbles. And I love that. Ghostface is erratic, and it's too erratic because he makes mistakes, and I like that about him, that he's not perfect, where a lot of killers, like, you know, slasher killers just seem to be just too perfect in what they can and can't do.
Yeah, I really think that that's just the appeal, is that it's, you are always reminded that it's a person in a costume, and because of that, yes, it makes them less scary, but Scream's not scary anyway. I mean, when the reviews and stuff came out, I remember for Scream 4, as a fan, I was so disheartened. And, you know, I'm one of those people that, like, if a movie I love has got bad reviews, I know you're not like this. You're like, who gives a fuck what people say? It's just reviews. Yeah. I'm not like that. I'd be like, oh, because then the film's always known as, like, critically bad. And, you know, it will, anytime it's referenced in lists and stuff, it will always, what will come first is how it's not a great film, and that's the sort of rap that Scream 4 was getting. Loads of reviews were sent, and it's not scary. And I'm like, when has Scream ever tried to be scary? That's not what it does. It's suspenseful. Ghostface isn't trying to be Samara and coming out of a fucking TV and saying you're going to die in 7 days. He is a man in a costume. It's suspenseful thriller slasher, you know? So Ghostface is never going to be scary, but he's intimidating. You know, he's intense. And that's what I love about him. And that Miss Thing will fall over a chair and the fucking, you know, drop of a hat. She going tumble.
And then again, I love the fact that we get a Scream 2 reference with Jill and getting sliced in the arm like Derek did in Scream 2.
I didn't notice these things. You're really popping the corn and feeding the children, but me.
And I also, like, it always makes me tee-hee when, like, after that bit and they're all outside, we're, like, the ambulance is there, and, like, the crowd's like, go home, Sydney, like, da-da-da, Sydney.
Go us, home, Sydney, you. Bitch. Sydney, your mom's a whore. Like, you're bringing up Pearl Maureen. She's dead about 15 years. She's about to break.
And then we get to the, like, glorious, like, back and forth with Sydney and Alison Brie, Rebecca. Mm. And I like their little moment in the hospital. And she's like, the trouble with Sydney, she's get laid. And then...
True. Sydney needs good pipe.
She needs to get it. And I always wonder if the scene in the parking lot, I wonder if like Wes was trying to sort of like redo the scene Curse. From Curse with Maya, like, because that was lit. That scene that she's in Curse is so lit. And I wonder if he was like, right, okay, because Curse was a real bust, let me try and do this again. Because to be fair, that like set for a scene like this is perfect. Because have you never been in like in a car park? I'm gone, this is the perfect setting for like someone to get fucked up. It's just like
Although I will admit, I will admit, I am not a huge fan of that scene. I don't really like that scene because I just feel like the way Ghostface behavior, I mean, this might sound stupid, again, just coming from a purist, but it's like the way he behaves in this film sometimes is a leap difference from the way he would behave in the other three. And the other three, it's all very similar. And obviously, you know, the three were done in the space of like 4 years.
Yeah.
And this one, the way he behaves is slightly different. Like the fact that he's like cut the brakes from a car and he's on the hood and he twists his knife and then he's gone. I don't like it. It's not Ghostface. To me, Ghostface is very much when he sees you, he's like, I am going to do everything I can to make sure that I'm fucking you up as soon as possible. Not really the whole, you know, the games are for the phone.
Yeah.
And then when he's like pulling out, you know, I get to, you know, he's cutting the brakes or cutting the power from a car, but to be there and then not be there and then be hiding.
But then if you think about it this way, okay, I'm gonna take what you said. I'm going to throw it right back and you might change your mind. If you think about it, those two are so obsessed with like recreating exactly what happened the first time. And I feel like, because they're so obsessed with it and they want to be like the next level. They want to be Sydney. They want to be Randy. That's what they're trying to emulate. It's like, they're going to make mistakes and they're going to do things wrong and not act to the true ghost face or like, because they're trying so hard to recreate that you can't recreate that. So to me, that's sort of like, again, I get where you're coming from, but like, I feel like that's more intentional because they're like, right, okay, because they're trying so, they're so desperate to make this work and make this a thing that they're going to fuck up because they're not as smart as they think they are.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but let's put it this way. I think Cursed had a better car park chasing. I really do. And that's the only thing I loved about Cursed was that motherfucking scene was just like, 10 out of 10. And
I do really enjoy when Rebecca gets, when she runs to the door and then she gets, and she turns around and he's right in her face because that is real good.
And I like then right at the end, he just sort of like goes fist turns to look. Do you know before he like
just say-
he turns to see like, oh, let me just make sure if there's anyone here.
Yeah.
And then of course, when she's thrown off, hits the van. But you know yourself at the time, all that was spoiled. I knew that was happening. Because the trailer was like, they sort of showed it and then they showed her sort of hitting. So again, not as impactful, but I mean, a character like her are designed to be in the film and get fucked up. So seeing her get lobbed from a car parking building, you can't complain really, like, can you?
No, you really can't. You really can't complain. And I really enjoy when... But, you know, Gail's finally going, she's like, I'm going rogue. Like, you're not going to help me. You're going to shut me out of this thing. Like, then I'm going to go back to old school Gail. And she does just that. And again, we get another parallel scene of the cameras. She's putting it in place. She's doing her thing. And it's in Stabathon, which I swear to God, I wish was a real thing. If we had a
Scream-a-thon, I wish it was a real thing.
Oh.
But so unrealistic. They start at whatever time at night and they have 7 stab movies to go through. That's an hour and a half each. I was like, yous are waking through the first one, drinking, and then you're just going to party. Do you know what I mean? But listen, yeah. I like to be in that barn and the extent that they all went to, where are yous all getting these decorations?
And like who like could just like, oh, we'll just use this barn and like set it all up. It's like, with what money? You're all in high school. Like, how
exactly
can you all
afford? I know.
It's like, what but the fuck?
They properly fabricated such an interesting scene that I wish it was utilized a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it was Gail's scene. And I think this is just another minor thing just for me, is that because I'm just, I love Gail so much.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she bees out of the game for a bit of it, which isn't like Gail, because in every one of them, she's always like top player. You know, she's like, every one of them, Gail's always making it right to the end, or, you know, getting a good chase scene. And this one, she gets a good scene, good intense scene, but she bees out of the game for a bit. And, you know, other people have to have a limelight, but...
But if you think about it, the way it's done is very different to the other three. However, that is her like story. Like she gets to a certain point and then she's like, she's out of the game for like a bit because she's either knocked out, unconscious, she's here, she's wherever, she's like tied up. So yeah, I get it. She's there is like there's a moment where you think, oh, this is it for Gail. And then
No.
She's brought right back to how it used to be when it's just them, when it's just Gail, Dewey, and Sid, all right to the very end, making it in the end. So they bring her back just in time, but I do feel like they could have used her a bit.
Just a little bit more.
Yeah.
A little bit more than this. Because you know, she just sort of gets that one moment. Like to sort of face off Ghostface, and that's it. And a good moment it is. I mean, the outfit is popping. Oh. She's one of the best lines ever, which me and you are quote all the time, was how meta can you get?
Oh.
Like, I don't even know what that means. I just heard it. And that's when we first heard that, we didn't know what it means, but we just because we just heard her say it. And now, you know, it's a cruel cycle of just iconicness behavior.
I mean, so, Gail, she has throughout the whole like franchise, she has so many good one-liners. And in this one, again, it's the exact same thing. She has the whole, I love the moments with Judy Hicks when she has the whole lemon squares thing.
Yeah, your lemon squares taste like ass.
Their back and forth is really fun. I like their dynamic. And I feel like Gail is a really good, like, just a good partner, like to have like a really good like back and forth. She's really good at like giving it and taking it, and it's just she delivers every time.
Mm-hmm. And now that actually brought up about Judy Hanks, because we haven't actually spoke about her, and she is going to be in the new Scream, so we know she will have more of importance. But I think she's a brilliant character.
She's so fun.
She's a husband stealing bastard. Two, well, she's a look ass. But then my favorite is when she stood in the hallway.
Yeah.
And she's like, do you remember when we were doing, I can't remember what it was, and I was one of the last boys, and you were Tiger Lily, and her eyes are pure mash. Like, you're fucking crazy.
They tried so hard in this film to make us believe that she was going to be one of like the killers. And I was like, I do not believe it for a second. And after watching it this time around, I always kind of thought about it as, oh yeah, I think she's trying it on with Dewey. But then for some reason, I watched it this time around, I was like, I actually don't feel that either. I feel like she's so dedicated to her job and like doing a good job. I think she's more of a kiss ass than she actually is like trying to get on Dewey's dick. I don't think that's because she doesn't give me the vibe of like, oh, like she wants to fuck. She's like, no, I want to be like the best deputy there ever was and ever will be. So I'm going to bake all these little treats to make you like love me so much. And I'm going to do my job like to the best of my ability and be like an absolute square. I don't think she's coming from a place of like, ooh, Dewey, like.
Oh, no, definitely. No, I think you're right. 100%. I think it's easy to get misled because of how she acts around Gail. But I think it's because Gail's interfering and she's so by the books that she's like, no, you know, and she has an infatuation with Dewey. I mean, I don't blame her because he looks so fucking fit in Scream 4. He is hot piece of and ass in this film. He's
mysteriously, like, lost the limp.
That's what I was thinking. So much for a severed nerve.
But then I'm like, it's 10 years. He could have gone to, like, you know, physical therapy, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's gone. But, I mean, he's not just the only one. Then you've got the... two officers.
Adam Brody is so sexy.
Mr. Brody is everything. He's so hot. So hot. I love him. Nico Tortorella, he was really hot. When I remember watching it, I thought he was a real slice. Dewey was a slice. And then you've got Charlie and Robbie who are minus slices. Mm-hmm. And I think, how the fuck does Kirby want to shag Charlie? Each to their own.
Yeah.
But it makes me think Miss Thing was just drunk. You know, just drunk and horny. And she's like, oh, come on.
I also kind of fancy, like, Anthony Anderson is in it as well. And he's really funny and he would get it big time as well. And I love his line when he's like, fuck Bruce Willis. Their little, like, partnership is so fun as well.
So good. Because Wes Craven said, didn't he? He read somewhere in the news or something that there was a guy who was stabbed in the head, like, in the middle of the head. And he was still walking around for like a minute or two after, like talking, and like he just didn't comprehend what had happened.
What was going on?
Yeah, and that's where he got the idea to obviously you know, stab Anthony Anderson in the head. Oh,
again, that was like literally right in the forehead. That was so brutal as well. Imagine like getting like a knife right in the middle and of you.
Do you know that blood CGI? You would never know.
Well, do you know, when you told me the other week that the knives were CGI, I had no idea. I'm like, that is some good CGI. Because you wouldn't, it? you can't tell.
I can't tell. That a couple of times, one, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like when Charlie holds suddenly and you can see the blade just shines different. But that time when Ghostface stabs him in the head, the blade isn't there and the blood is thick. The blood is CGI, but I mean, every time I watch it, you could not clock that blood was not real. I love it.
That's so good.
Isn't it? Who would have thought? Oh, and another fun fact. There was an extended scene in the script. I don't know if they filmed it, where Sydney's in the hospital and the doctor, he's treating her. She sort of speaks to him for a bit and she leaves. And that was supposed to be Steve from Scream 1's dad. What's Steve's surname?
Oh, I read it like a second ago. It's like Steve Orff.
And it's Dr. Orff who it is, and that was like a nice throwaway cameo. So I hope that like the new Scream and stuff, there's like cameos to the fourth one. Yeah. And like more throwbacks to the other ones, because baby, that's what we need.
I do, you know what? I'm so excited for the new one to have. I hope it's like throughout like the, I just want reference after reference after reference that will like feed my soul.
I do.
What do you, I feel so sorry for Robbie, and like he's so cute, bless him. And we have his scene where he's like just like he's drunk, he's letting loose, he's like outside doing his thing.
Oh, he's a little lonely.
And poor little baby, he really gets it. And he's like, I'm gay if it helps. I'm like, so, you would think so, but...
Do you think he actually is gay?
Yeah, or just I do. Saying it? I know I do, but I think he is. And I think he's just like, he's trying everything he can. He's like, I'm playing by the rules and you're not. He's like, I'm gay. And I think it's just...
And clearly that must be like Charlie underneath it. So he's like, that's why like they sort of look at him like, oh, shit. You're gay? Well, I'm already halfway through killing you, so I'm not going to stop. You know what I mean? It would be reverse homophobia to stop. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I have to carry on. Because I'd be homophobic myself to just like let him live. But no, I used to think for ages he just said it because he was trying to play by the rules. He thought that like the only way to live was to be gay, so he's just trying to do what he can to survive.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you look at him then and, you know... The sort of banter he has with like Olivia and stuff, like Olivia, don't look at my tits, I have a mind, Morris, and it's not non-sexual. Yeah. So I think he's one of us. Well, he was so. One of us. R.I.P.
to
a good one.
We have to go back quickly because I need to talk about, there's a moment in the cinema club scene that I think it's the moment where I like. Bearing in mind, shit's just gone down. Olivia's just been killed. And for some reason, as soon as Olivia gets killed, no one seems to, like, really give a
no
shit.
No one cares.
She's dead. No one cares that she's dead. I'm like, what is going on?
Yes, your moment... best friend was murdered and you watched it and you don't
exactly.
care.
And there's a moment where, they introduce Sydney and she, like, just stands up for, like a clap. I'm like, this is not the Sydney. She would not really give a shit about a whole room clap, like giving a round of applause. So why are you standing up like you're some
somebody?
That was a really weird choice. But
the scene itself is a bit like, I love the scene because it's good exposition. It's good, you know, when they tell the rules. Gail's outfit, behave. Gail's outfit is fucking next level. Gail's attitude is next level. But it's like, why is Trevor there? Even though it's just red herring.
Yeah.
Why is Hayden Panettiere there? Your best friend was just murdered. Your best friend.
You know for a fact, she's not a part of that club. Even though she's a massive movie buff, she is not going to that club. So like... Yeah.
She's not.
Yeah.
They've made like a really unrealistic character for us to lust and fantasize over. There's rarely any Kirby's in the world and I'm yet to find one. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is that cool of a chick? Yet as dedicated to the film club and after Fridays. No, bitch. No, bitch. In what world? And if so, I need to meet her. You know what I'm saying? Like, Not in this world, darling. No.
And speaking of Kirby, how do we feel about her final moments? And that scene is one of my favorite scenes of the whole movie. Her back and forth over the phone when she's like, get away from the door, Charlie. I love it. And then her phone conversation where she is hitting every mark. She's like, oh.
She hits every fucking beat to the point where whoever's on the phone is like, well, shit. Like Emma Roberts or... Well, fuck my drag, right? She's got the question right. So Charlie,
like, well, I'll be damned. She got me good. So, like, I guess I'm not killing her now, bitch. And then again, I love the fact that when we see Charlie, he's sat, it's strapped in that chair exactly like Steve was. And I'm like, again, another parallel. It's great. It's just so good.
Which, in context, is perfect. It's not just doing it for the sake of doing it. It's doing it because we were in the midst of like remake overload when all the studios were doing was pumping out remakes because that's all they knew how to generate money because like the horror genre was just going to shit again. So it's so poetic and it's so fitting to Scream. It's meta as fuck. It works with the whole stab level that's going on, you know. And it's just the perfect way to show like then, you know, Casey can't even make it past like the third question. Now Kirby's like, shows how like advanced the younger people are, how like more savvy they are, and how they're like more, you know, to quote Scream 4, like more aware of the rules of the original. And I just think that is so brilliant, you know, in the time of remakes. What a way to do it. And that scene is my favorite, I think, in the whole movie.
And then when, and yeah, and like I say, in my heart of hearts, I know that Kirby isn't dead because she only gets stabbed twice.
Suddenly got stabbed twice and she lived.
Exactly. She lived. I mean, yes, we see a lot of blood on the floor. However, we don't see her dead. We see it. We hear her moving around. She's still making noise when like Charlie walks off. And then to find out that Wes did that on purpose because he wanted to, because the idea was to do Scream 5. You know, they had planned to do Scream 5 and Scream 6. And the plan was to bring Kirby back and her be, you know, a bigger player in Scream 5. And the plan was always to be, we don't know if Kirby is alive or not, but she's alive.
Let's make the decision up after,
And then to find out that one Miss Hayden Panettiere was coming back for some reshoots for the new Scream. I mean, if they're just rumors, and that's
true, or well,
you know, word on the street is that happened, and you know, she was rocking her new the Kirby hair in an Instagram post. So like, that would be fucking next level if she had even a scene, even just one scene.
I think potentially be a scene. Because otherwise, if they like bring her back to do reshoots, a part of me doesn't like that because I'm like, she wasn't part of the original plan. And I hate for them just to add chunks in and it feel disjointed. But I mean, if she's not in it and if there's not some sort of reference to Kirby, I will be furious because yes, we know she's not dead, but we don't because there's no answer on. Is there a film that says she's alive? No. So as far as we're concerned, she's a something. And I kind of like that though. I'm weird like that. I actually love the fact that it's just completely we're just oblivious. We will never know if Kirby is alive or dead.
I mean, like I say, in my heart of hearts, she's alive. I can't like you can't tell me otherwise. But in an ideal world, she's brought back to do like a little cameo for this one. And, you know, hopefully this movie is off and popping and, you know, generates more to come. Fingers crossed, that's the hope. So my hope is she pops in for a cameo, doesn't get killed, and then she's brought back for another one as the main attraction. Because, you know, for a fact, I feel like this is going to be the last one for Sydney, Gale and Dewey. It may, if not, maybe just Sydney, and maybe they bring back Gale and Dewey, but I feel like this is probably their last one they're going to do. I don't think they're going to do any more, which is fine, because I feel like for it to go, if there's a plan for it to go further and live on, then maybe, well, not die, but maybe just, you know, take off the hat and go, Kirby, It's All You.
I think it's very much...
Jenna Ortega, It's All You, Bitch.
Yeah, it's very much like Halloween at the moment, isn't it? It's like, we know it's coming to an end. And you're like, the final girl is more likely to die, this iconic final girl, than she is to walk away scot-free. But I think to myself, if they loved Wes Craven so much like they do, you can't kill her. You just can't. Just let Sydney's her walk away.
Like, Sydney's untouchable. Like, let her just end this one with being like, peace out, I'm out, and nobody fucking come for me again. Otherwise.
Yeah, and just like the last line, just be like, I'm never coming back to fucking Woodsboro again. Just something, you know, something. Because I just
even if people start getting killed, I am not coming back. I'm gonna fucking Timbuktu and living out the rest of my days on a beach somewhere. Call me, don't text me, don't tag me, don't DM me, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah, 100%. And here's hoping. And there was me thinking that I thought there would be some sort of twist, like halfway through the film, the murder start happening and suddenly just bounces. Suddenly it's like, I'm out.
Yeah.
But then I read somewhere that they said suddenly is just as much a main character in this one as that she has been in like four and stuff. So
makes sense.
You know, yeah. But they did, the original plan was to kill Sydney off. Jill Roberts was supposed to kill Sydney. And it was not supposed to be a hospital scene. And it was supposed to end after she done fucked herself up. And there, and
baby.
The whole point, yeah, and the whole point would be that Scream 3 would be there's someone that's going and killing her friends because they know that she was the killer. And I mean, I think that's genius. Mm-hmm. But everything happens for a reason. Wes died only a couple of years after Scream 4. And, you know, we wouldn't have Sydney now, but... I am still glad that we had what was my another favorite scene of Jill's self-mutilation. I think that is just cinematic masterpiece.
It's That's just insane. Up. But like, she's dedicated to like the whole trying so hard to be Sydney and being the final girl. And again, another parallel of like Trevor being brought out as if he's Sydney's dad in the first one. Getting shot in the dick is like, it's not the one. That, like, oh,
no, that is tight. And I actually don't think I've seen a film where someone actually gets shot in the fucking dick, which makes sense because Jenny is the other woman. Did you know that?
No.
So do you remember Trevor cheated?
Yeah.
It's with Jenny because you hear in the car when she's like, why is Jenny Randall calling me? And then Olivia in the back goes, oh, the other woman. And then I seen it online. It's Jenny's the one who, and then remember when Jenny goes to his friends and she's like, is this Trevor? And then he's like, do I sound like a Trevor to you? So she's the one that shagged Trevor, and that's where she gets killed.
What? I mean, microphone threw up. Every day it's a school day, because that's such a small moment. Like, you really have to kind of like know it, and that makes total sense, because you do kind of feel like, oh, the Jenny and Marnie of all is kind of random. It's not like how do they how do they really fit in? So I feel like Marnie is just collateral damage, like, because you're friends with Jenny, like it's you. Sorry, boo. But that all makes sense.
And then that's why they switched it so that it was a Jenny. Scene, not Marnie, because Jenny's the reason why they've come there to fuck them up. That's why they chose them, because Jenny's the other woman. See? And that makes so much sense.
It all works out.
So clearly fucking Jill was like, I'm gonna fuck you up. And Marnie, unlucky Marnie, Marnie the Carney, as they call her.
Marnie the Carney. But then that scene where like Jill like stabbed herself in the shoulder is great. And then when she has the crazy idea to throw herself into a table, because like, you gotta think about it. Imagine like being in that moment and being like, right, okay, I have to fuck myself up. Like, the amount of like, you don't want to do it, but like how much it must take to kind of like literally just jump up and throw yourself into a table, knowing like it's gonna fucking hurt, like, and everything in your body is telling you, like, don't do this. Like, why are you wanting to do this? And then you do it anyway. Like, that is next level. She is great.
I know someone who in secondary school, a gay fella, of course, in secondary school, did not want to do PE that badly that he kept slamming the door on his arm to, like, fracture it or to, like, really fuck it up so that he didn't have to do PE. And he got the idea after watching Jill Roberts in Scream 4. He watched Scream 4 and was like, I so desperately do want to do PE, I'm going to slam a door on my arm to the point it swells. And, like, it's obvious that he can't do PE, so he got off PE then for a couple months.
That is team too much. Like oh, my God. Just take your ass to PE and just stand at the side like every other gay boy before you. Like, come on. Like, oh.
So, tell me this. Do you feel like the hospital scene feels authentically Scream, or do you feel like it's sort of pieced on at the end, like a wee Lego piece? Because I feel the latter option. I feel like it's a bit of a 180 turn to what we normally expect. But I get
to it. It's a bit of both. I feel it does feel like just like an add-on. However, it also does feel like true to Scream, because you have the final moments be the three main people, which is Gail, Sydney, and Dewey. That feels right to me. However, yeah, ending it in a hospital doesn't feel like Scream. However, like, I still really enjoy it. I do. It does really work. I love when she's like, get up, bitch. Like, that's really funny. Like, Jill's
just
really
getting a little ass out of here.
She's really going for it. And then
and it goes with the whole thing they say where the ending was back at the house. Like, this is just getting fucking ridiculous. Like, we're at the hospital, you know, like, and they're like, you can't get away with it now. We're in a hospital. So it feels like it is pieced on, but it is like, they added a Lego brick, right, to a bag of spaghetti, but they covered it up with enough glue and paint that, you know, you wouldn't even know the difference, you know?
Yeah.
But I do, as I said, it's a great way to sort of reunite the three, get Judy Hicks in there, have her think she's murdered, but she's actually back. And of course, it wouldn't be a Scream movie unless Dewey was getting his ass handed to him. He definitely has a concussion.
With a fucking bedpan, like, oh, you just got hit in the head with a toilet, like a toilet. Yeah.
But you have to laugh at how it's like, Sydney's come and go, you know, she just might make it, and I don't think she'll remember. And Sydney just wakes up, like, oh, like, you know, the actor, like, Sydney was in a coma, and she just wakes up, like, oh, this will come out tomorrow.
She's like, who, me?
Who, me? Like, this in front of all these people.
There is a small moment, and it's when I think it's really good. I think it's just really good acting. It's when Jill like kicks Sydney in the stomach where she's stabbed, and like that little yelp that Nev like just lets out of her mouth.
You can feel it.
Oh, it sounds like she's actually just, that's really happened. It's just really good. And then
it sounds like karma's come back to bite her ass when she actually got Skeet Ulrich's wound in the first one and got Perscott Foley, and then it's like she actually had her appendix removed, and she's like, hey, I like those stitches.
And then we get the iconic moment of just one final word. What? No, she's like, no, clear.
Iconic. And then first real remake, don't fuck with the original. That's right.
And then another, like, the final, again, Scream does a really good job with its final moments. And you have, I love it, you have, like, it flicks from different reporter to reporter, all saying, like, Jill, the hero, what's next? And it's just knowing what we know as an audience, the fact that she fucked it all up and she isn't this. And, like, I can't wait for the media circus of when they all actually find out that it was Jill all along. It was Agatha.
I've never even thought about this before. Surely they have to touch upon it. The fact that, you know, we never got to see the other end of that news report. Surely they will mention Jill and talk about Jill.
I hope so.
Maybe the killer, maybe it will be something like there's like a cult and they believe that what Jill and all were doing was like the right, I don't know. But, you know, we have to know about Jill. We have to be told just what happened when people found out that, you know, she was really the killer, because she's one of the strongest villains out there. And as of right now, she has the most plausible, egotistical fucking motives ever. You cannot get more clear and more understandable, weirdly enough. Like, her motives, I could understand why someone like her would do that. because of her reasons, you know, because she's mental anyway, but doing it all for the fame, and she just wants to be famous for doing sweet fuck all. Like, I have never heard a more Gen Z millennial thing like at my life. Like, that is our generation, younger generation, to a T. Nobody wants to do anything. They just want to be rich, do sweet fuck all, and get paid for it. And
again, more relevant, this film, today than it was, you know,
100% 10 years ago. Scream 4, like, with, you know, we've spoke about this before, with, like, TikTok, and especially TikTok, you know, sometimes there was Snapchat and all that shit. It's, Scream 4 is, could not be any more relevant now than it was then. Then it was like, you didn't realize it was ahead of the time, but the whole headpiece and stuff, that doesn't exist really. And it seemed a bit out there. But now it's like, that's life, just running around recording your every single move constantly. Like, Jill's reasoning, poetic justice, just like Scream 3 predicted the whole Weinstein shit, Scream 4 just done and predicted 10 years in the fucking future. And that's why,
so let's look out for this new one, because whatever happens in the new one, it's going to be the next couple of years.
Yeah, 100%. And if anyone is out there and has listened to this and was like, meh, I wasn't really a fan of Scream 4, because, you know, loads of people are about like that.
Mm-hmm.
Watch it again. Go watch it again, because it's different now. I mean, we've always loved it, but bitch, it just hit different.
Sure have. Mm-hmm. So tell me what your overall verdict of Scream 4 is.
It's sharp, witty, gory, highly entertaining, so ahead of its time, brilliant characters, eat it, shit it, put it in a blender, boss, another club, clean, boss. Scream 4 is just great, I love it, and it's an 8 axe wounds out of 10. Tell me your score, bitch.
I mean, I can't add anything to what you just said. I agree with everything you just said 100% about your overall. The only thing I really have to add to it, really, is the fact that, like, the cast is amazing. I love the fact that it pays tribute to all the ones that have come before it. It doesn't just ignore it. And, like, I like how they mirror some things and, you know, do the little, like, homage to it. And then the kills, they step up the kills again. Like, it's like, you know, apart from Scream 3, because you kind of had to not count on that, like, they just, each one just steps it up. So, like, I can only imagine what potentially, like, the new Scream, and it's going to be,
I can't wait.
I'm either, and my axe wounds is a big, fat, juicy 9 out of 10, because, like,
oh. Come on, 9. So, I think it's an important question to ask right now. I want you to rank the 4 Scream movies, starting from the worst to the best.
Oh, easy. This is easy. I could do this in my sleep, like, literally REM sleep. You ask me this question, I can tell you, like, straight away. Uh-huh. Scream 3 is the worst. But when I say the worst, it's the worst of the four. It's still good. Like, don't try
me. At me.
Then it's Scream 4.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Scream 2, and then it's Scream. That's it.
Mine is the same. Scream 3, Scream 4, Scream 2, Scream 1. But what I will say about Scream 4 is, out of all of them, I have the closest connection to it.
Yeah.
Because it was the excitement, the thrill of being alive to go and see a Scream movie, and not just like, oh, here's the new Scream. This was Scream 4. This, you know, just as well as me, how much we would have waited for that. And to go and see it in the cinema twice, you 3 times. I just think, out of all of them, I have the closest, like, personal connection to this.
Yeah.
And I will always, it will just, you know, I could even take that separately from that list. And in some aspects, it's just, it's the almighty one, you know, it really is.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for the fact that, because around that time, there was this stupid, like, trend going around for Hollywood horror movies that they all had to be in fucking 3D. And I'm so grateful that, like, they didn't do this, because I think if they'd gone down the 3D route with this, My heart would have been like in a million pieces. I'd have been
and
like,
that was the plan, wasn't it? They wanted to, that's why the poster looked the way it did. They wanted to.
And I'm so glad they were like, we're going to 69 this because this is not like, yeah, no.
Exactly.
86.
Yeah, 69 baby. Come on. Nubble, nubble, gobble, gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
But we now have to prepare ourselves. Now we've got Scream Timbre out of the way. We have to prepare ourselves for...
We've done it. Like, I can't believe we've done it.
We've
finally
done it. This is 2.5 years making.
Sure, but how we ever were able to get through, like, I don't know. I mean, because... And I'm pretty sure we're still going to fucking bring up these films to the end of time.
Oh, I mean, I don't think this is the end. We have finally got it off our chest, but I have no doubt that we will still reference it. But... I feel about 10 stone lighter. Who needs the gym? Just talk about Scream. And
like a birthday baby.
But now that we have that out of our system, we can just prepare mentally, physically, and spiritually for January and hope that we get that January 2022 release. Whew. I'm ready. She ready. I'm ready. I'm ready for a fucking trailer is what I'm ready for.
Or
like a photo, just a quick pic.
But then the other day I went on like the IMDb for the new Scream and was like flicking through all like the behind the scenes. I was like, oh, this is getting me real like, ooh, bitch.
Well, I accidentally found out a spoiler about the opening, which I was like, oh, but then I was like, nah, I'm actually not bothered that I found it out, but it's, you know, it's again just reverting expectations, all that sort of zhuzh. And I was like, if it sounds like how I think it sounds in my head, I'm going to be a bit disappointed. And I hope the rest of the film doesn't sort of follow that. But yeah, I did somehow stumble into a spoiler and they tried to go on and I turned it off because how they told me, I was convinced. Apparently, someone had seen it at a screening and really like, and they'd. You've told the person things before in the past about screenings and it was like accurate, it was all accurate and it was the same person that done it. It was his own private.
You know what? You don't even have to tell me because I don't believe it because I'm not being funny, right? But like they are so like locked down with the Scream movies. Like I just don't believe for a single second that like they're letting anything. Like they're like, because when we found out like they're so... When they came out and said, we don't know how we're going to make a trailer because like it can give away so much. I'm like, so you're going to tell me they're going to tell some fucking, I don't know who it is, but like they can fuck right off. They're not telling them shit. I'm sorry. I don't believe it.
Do you want me to tell you after?
No.
Since you don't believe it, you may as well, I'll just tell you after.
But if it happens, I'm going to, no, don't tell me. Unless you want a Drag Race spoiler that I found out.
I mean, I don't mind. It's only if you wanted the Scream spoiler, but if you don't believe it, then why not just hear it?
Fine.
We'll talk after, Vince. We'll talk after.
Yeah, please go and find us on Instagram and Facebook at
Spelling Guts Podcast.
Find us on Twitter at
Spelling Guts Pod.
Send us an email at
spellingutspodcast@outlook.com.
And then if you would all be so kind to like, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff.
Pickle, echo. All of it.
That's it.
Avita Zay to the Scream Timber.
Goodbye.
This is...